The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 9, Text Number 15, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on June 7th, 2018, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yasya avatara guna karma vidam banani namani ye asu vigame vivasha grananti te anaika janma shamalam sahasa eva hitva sanyanti apavrita amritam tam ajam prapadye yashya vatara guna karma vivam banani namani yesu vigame vivasha grasnanti te naika janma shamalam sahasaiva hitva sanyan yapavratamritam tamajam prapadye yashya vatara guna karma vivam banani namani yesu vigame vivasha grananti te naika janma shamalam sahasaiva hitva sanyat yapavritamritam tamajam prapadye yashya whose avatara incarnation guna transcendental qualities karma activities vidam banani all mysterious namani transcendental names ye those asuvigame while quitting this life vivasha automatically grananti invoke te they anaika many janma births shamalam, accumulated sins. Sahasa, immediately. Eva, certainly. Hidva, giving up. Sanyanti, obtain. Apavrita, open. Amritam, immortality. Tam, him. Ajam, the unborn. Prapadye, I take shelter. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Let me take shelter of the lotus feet of Him whose incarnations, qualities, and activities are mysterious imitations of worldly affairs. One who invokes his transcendental names, even unconsciously, the time he quits this life, is certainly washed immediately of the sins of many, many births and attains him without fail. Purport. The activities of the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are a kind of imitation of the activities going on in the material world. He is just like an actor on a stage. An actor imitates the activities of a king on stage, although actually he is not the king. Similarly, when the Lord incarnates, he imitates parts with which he has nothing to do. In Bhagavad Gita 4:14, it is said that the Lord has nothing to do with the activities in which he is supposedly engaged. Namang karmani limpante namme karma palespriha. The Lord is omnipotent. Simply by his will he can perform anything and everything. When the Lord appeared as Lord Krishna, he played the part of the son of Yashoda and Nanda, and he lifted the Govardhan hill, although lifting a hill is not his concern. He can lift millions of Govardhan hills by his simple desire. He does not need to lift it with his hand, but he imitates the ordinary living entity by this lifting. At the same time, he exhibits his supernatural power. Thus, his name is chanted as the lifter of Govardhan hill, or Sri Govardhana Dhari. Therefore, his acts and his incarnations and his partiality to the devotees are all imitations only, just like the stage makeup of an expert dramatical player. He acts in that capacity, however, are all omnipotent, and the remembrance of such activities of the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is as powerful as the Lord himself. Ajamil remembered the holy name of the Lord, Narayan, by merely calling the name of his son, Narayan, and that gave him a complete opportunity to achieve the highest perfection of life. Pretty amazing verse in purport. Very amazing. What I found really interesting in this purport was Prabhupada saying how he imitates the ordinary living entity by this lifting. So the ordinary living entity can lift a mountain. No. So Krishna is simultaneously imitating the ordinary living entity and showing his prowess as the Supreme Lord at the same time. Because he doesn't have to even lift it with his little finger. He can, just by his own desire, it can lift, you see. Just if Krishna thinks, I want Govardhan to lift, it'll lift. So why does he have to stand there and hold his finger, you see? So in that way, he's imitating an ordinary living entity. But yet, at the same time, he's showing his omnipotency. What little kid can lift a mountain on his little finger? Show me anybody who can even hold their finger up for 7 days. Just try holding your little finger up for 7 hours and see if you can handle it. You're just holding your hand up with nothing there for 7 days. We can't even do that, you see. So it's amazing he acts like an ordinary at the same time he shows his omnipotency in the same act. So in this way, everything about Krishna is simply wonderful. The way he holds his head, the way he moves his eyebrows when he plays his flutes, I mean, every little thing about him is just absolutely, it's like an ordinary person, but then again, it's completely extraordinary. I mean, other people, you know, an ordinary flute player can also move his eyebrows when he plays his flutes, when he plays the flute, but he can't move like Krishna. Yeah, his flute playing is, just like even in this world, boys, there are boys who like to play the flute, you know. So in that way, Krishna is imitating an ordinary, but nobody can play the flute like that. You see? Wow. Krishna play, even the demigod, even 33 million demigods, they just bow their heads when I hear that flute playing. I mean, even the demigods who have incredible musicians, they have amazing musicians in the heavenly planets, the Gandharvaka, you know, the music they can do is just, we can't even imagine that kind of musical arrangements that they have on the heavenly planets. But that's nothing compared to Krishna's flute playing, you see. Nothing. His flute playing is so amazing. I mean, everybody is stunned. The animals, you know, they're in Vrindavan, right? Cows are chewing on the grass. The monkey's eating a banana or whatever. And they're all chewing. But as soon as that flute playing, their chewing stops. They stop chewing. And it's described, they're just like painted animals, you know. They're just like, it's like a painting of an animal now. They're all frozen. All the animals, when they hear that flute, they just, all the animals are completely, Jamuna, the water in the Jamuna, I mean, everything just is completely affected by Krishna's flute playing, you see. So these pastimes are amazing. And actually they're meant to attract us back to the spiritual world, you see. We don't belong in this nasty place. We belong back with Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, you see. That's where we belong. So Krishna is very kind. Gives us a sneak preview of the spiritual world. Don't diss us to see the whole movie, so to speak. Experience the whole thing. Gives a little sample of what it's like in the spiritual world. So we can desire to go back, you see. I mean, just every little thing is amazing there. Every little thing is unlimitedly amazing. And you say, well, I'm not so fortunate. I was there 5,000 years ago. I could hear the flute. So what am I supposed to do? You know, what's the hope for me? You know. But you know what? Every single lila of Krishna, lifting the Govardhan, playing the flute, stealing the gopis' clothes, all of it, it's right there. And you'll find it totally packed up and fully available. Within Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So you don't have to miss out on anything. You have a key in your hand, in your bead bag. You have the key that unlocks all the pastimes of Krishna. It unlocks full access to the spiritual world. Right there on your lips, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So all we really have to do is master this chanting of Hare Krishna. That's all we really have to do. And we have to somehow give up all these offenses. Offenses make fences. Big, huge fences that we can't cross over. So get rid of the fences of the offenses. Let me see. It's sometimes tough because, you know, we're pretty offensive people, really, you know. If you compare us to the inhabitants of the spiritual world, we're like walking, talking aparads. Really, that's our consciousness. We're aparadis. In so many ways, we're offending Vaishnavas, offending the holy name, offending the deities. I mean, we're just offense personified, really, in this Kali Yuga. But if we take advantage of the mercy of these great acharyas, especially our beloved founder acharya, his divine grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Paripajakacharya Astatarasata Shishimad A.C. Bhakti Padanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. And we take advantage of his mercy. Then we can come out of this offensive, deluded, miserable state that we're in right now. Really. Offensive, deluded, miserable state. That's describes our present status. But the beauty of this process is, even though we're in a pitiable, offensive, miserable condition, we can be ecstatic immediately. Say, what? How can I be miserable and ecstatic at the same time? Well, here's the example. You're dirty. Your body is filthy. But you get in the shower. Even though you're filthy, you're in the shower. And when you're in the shower, you're considered clean, even though you're dirty. In other words, I can't say, oh, he's so dirty, but he's in the shower. How can I criticize somebody being dirty when he's in the shower? You see what I'm saying? So if you're in the shower scrubbing away, you know, Haribo, Haribo, scrubbing away in the shower, you see. No one can say, oh, he's so dirty. You can't criticize somebody for being dirty. We're in the shower scrubbing away. You see what I'm saying? So in this way, all we have to do is get in the shower of Krishna consciousness, you see. Take this sadhana bhakti process very seriously. And then you're in the shower. So you're considered as good as clean, even if you're dirty. So in this way, we can actually taste the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, even in our dirty condition, just by getting in the shower, you see. Somebody said, they asked Prabhupada, how many pure devotees are there on the planet? Prabhupada said, how many devotees are there in ISKCON? Wow. Of course, that applies to those who are strictly following, not those who are, you know, breaking a few principles every now and then on the weekend for a little fun or so-called fun or whatever. But Prabhupada accepted those who are in this movement, who are strictly following the regulated principles, Prabhupada accepted they are pure devotees. Wow. So even though we're trying to become pure, and we're not really pure yet, Prabhupada says pure devotees. So if we simply beg Krishna, please, my dear Krishna, please free me from my Vaishnava aparad, my Nama aparad, Seva aparad. Please free me from these. Krishna, please help me, my Lord. I'm so offensive. I'm so full of so many bad qualities. Please save me from this madness and make me your pure devotee. Sincerely beg Krishna again and again, day after day, week after week. Just keep begging, 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 begging Krishna. And you know what? The magic happens. We actually have the awakening of love of God within our hearts. It will come. To those who sincerely beg for it, they get it. You don't have to be a great yogi or a great mystic or a great jnani. You simply have to sincerely beg Krishna for pure devotional service. And you will get it. Krishna has been traveling with you within your heart through thousands and millions of lifetimes of your sojourn here, of trying to enjoy separately from him in this material world, just waiting for that moment when you again turn to him and beg for release from the clutches of the material nature. He's been traveling with you for millions of your lifetimes here. And when you were Brahma, when you were Indra, when you were Indra Gopa, when you were a snake, when you were a pig, when you were a monkey, when you were a prime minister, when you were a leper, Krishna was there in every one of those bodies with you. Waiting, waiting, waiting. When will this soul to come back, turn back to me and beg for my mercy that he may be engaged in my pure devotional service? So when you actually do that, then Krishna floods you with his mercy. As Prabhupada wrote me in one letter, he said, like torrents of rain in the monsoon season of India. So that's all you really need. All we really need is sincerity. Do you sincerely want to become a pure devotee of Krishna and get out of the material nature? If you do, you're in good shape. You're on the right track. maintain that sincerity, and Krishna from within the heart will guide you. The Guru from the externally will guide you. The Vaishnavas will guide you. The scriptures will guide you. If you have that sincere desire, then you will learn how to connect with the scriptures. You learn how to connect with the spiritual master. You learn how to connect with the Vaishnavas. You become actually gradually learn how to take directions from the Lord within your heart also. You see? These things will come simply by sincerity. So somebody said, but Gurudev, I'm not sincere. What can I do? I have no sincerity. So I say, well, are you saying that? Are you sincerely saying that? Well, yes, I am. Well, so you have sincerity. You see? You can't, if you say I have no sincerity, I ask you, are you sincerely saying that? Oh, yes, I am. I'm sincerely saying I have no sincerity. So you can be sincere. It's within the power of each and every one of us to be sincere. You see? So all we have to do is do it. Prabhupada very much encouraged me when I was a brand new devotee. He wrote me one letter. He said, I can see that you're a very sincere and enthusiastic devotee. Prabhupada really encouraged me a lot. He said, now continue enthusiastically as you were doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. Prabhupada promised me that if I would go on enthusiastically engaging in devotional service, that I would get Krishna's blessings. So that instruction has been carrying me now from 47 years. They can't hear the class on the internet? Oh. Let's get back to our connection. So the process actually works. It's not hype. You see, we have a tendency to be skeptical because we've been hyped by so many cheaters through our whole lives. You see. But this is not hype. You must have faith. This is not hype. This is genuine. Krishna is not a myth. Krishna actually is the Supreme Lord. He's the source of all existence. Everything emanates from Him. It's not like Darwin says. This is the Vedas are the absolute truth. The Vedic Bhagavad Gita is the absolute truth. And you can even test it if you're skeptical. Just try it. Follow the teachings of the Gita and see what happens. Make an experiment. Give one life to Krishna. Say, well, is Krishna real or is Krishna a myth? Well, it seems like he's probably real, but let me test this thing. I'm going to give one life to Krishna. This one life is completely dedicated to Krishna. My every thought, my every word, my every deed in all times, places, and circumstances now will be for Krishna. You see? Yat kadoshi yadishnasi yajdahosi dadasi yat. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. You may think, well, I've tried everything else. Why not try this? I'm going to get this one life, everything will be for Krishna, and I'll see what happens by doing that. Well, if you do that, you wake up in Goloka Vrindavan. And your original constitutional position, an eternal spiritual being, one of the associates of the Lord. That's what will happen. We guarantee it. You see. So try it, you'll like it. We encourage the whole world to come to this Krishna consciousness movement. You know what Prabhupada said in Mayapur? An amazing thing. Right now he called this world Maya Loka. He said, we can turn Maya Loka into Vaikuntha Loka. Simply if we can constantly propagate Krishna consciousness, we can make the whole world Krishna conscious. Everybody will be Hare Krishna people. He said like that. We can make everyone Hare Krishna people. Pretty amazing. So let us focus on awakening our Krishna consciousness and giving it to others. What's the relationship? Well, I'll tell you an insider secret here. The more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. Why do I go to the trouble of traveling all over the world to tell people about Krishna? I have a residence in Austin. I could just stay there, chanting Hare Krishna. Guru Mata and I can worship Radha Damodar. We have an ashram there in Austin. Why don't we travel all over the world, you see? Because I know this principle. The more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. So I'm greedy for Krishna. Therefore, I'm traveling all over the world and giving Krishna, giving Krishna, giving Krishna. Because then I get more Krishna, more Krishna, more Krishna. So that's a little secret. You want to enhance your Krishna consciousness, preach as much as you possibly can. To yourself, first of all. To your family members. To your friends. To your neighbors. To all living entities. You see. Embrace the preaching mission of Lord Chaitanya and Krishna becomes your personal property. Wow. It's pretty powerful stuff. Fully embrace the preaching mission of Lord Chaitanya and Krishna becomes your personal property. Wow. He has to become, because how you can give Krishna if you don't have him? You understand? If you take your mission to give Krishna to the fallen souls of this world, then Krishna has to give himself to you, because if you don't have him, how you can give him? You understand? So try to understand the great mercy of taking up this preaching mission. In any ashram, as a householder, as a brahmachari, brahmacharini, sannyasi, vanaprastha, doesn't matter. Embrace the preaching, the world deliverance mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Krishna becomes your personal property. So we have a few minutes left, 10 minutes actually. If there's any questions, I can try to answer them. Here comes a question. What if one asks the best question that can ever be asked, gets the best answer that can ever be obtained in the three worlds, but does not apply the answer practically? Comment, please. Now that's his he's fortunate, and it is his great fortune he asked the best question and got the best answer. It is misfortune he didn't apply it. So don't mix fortune and misfortune. Be completely fortunate. What is it that we think is liberation? Our actual liberation is becoming reestablished in your eternal relationship in Krishna's pastimes. Please explain the point about Krishna imitating activities of this material world in the connection of the lifting of Govardhan Hill. I already did that in the lecture. We lift things. Krishna didn't have to lift it at all. He could have lifted it on its own. But we lift things. It's like a lift this bottle, right? Now Krishna could just go and lift on his own. He wouldn't have to take his hand and lift it up. So in that sense, he's imitating us by lifting the hill. Those souls are being deprived of human bodies due to bad karma. How come the population of the world keeps increasing? Well, they're coming up from the animal kingdom. After they undergo the reactions for the sinful activities, they get another chance. The animals come up to the human platform. That's where they're coming from now. The animalistic humans are coming up from the animal kingdom. Please explain moment when you have actually seen Krishna, feel it. Please explain moment when you have actually seen or feel Krishna. Well, I'm not there yet. I'm waiting for it. I'm still seeing the material world out there. But I know I'm getting closer, and that's exciting. You see. Prabhupada said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. I haven't gotten there yet, even after 47 years. But the progress I'm making is enlivening me like anything. I can tell you that honestly. I know I'm getting closer every day. There'll be little ups and downs along the pathway, but I know that I'm making progress. I'm coming closer to that day when Krishna will reveal himself to me fully. I'm realizing more and more about Krishna as I progress through my days, my weeks, my months. I'm really realizing more and more about Krishna. And I know that that day will come when I fully realize Krishna. Of course, you can't ever really fully realize him because even Krishna doesn't fully realize himself, even though he has unlimited powers to realize everything. Even though Krishna fully realizes himself, his glories are expanding exponentially at every nanosecond. So even though Krishna fully realizes himself, he has even more to realize after he's done that. In other words, even Krishna has to go on increasing his Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not static, it's ecstatic because it's ever increasing. Even Krishna has to keep increasing his own Krishna consciousness. You understand the point? So the point is, it never becomes boring. Well, I've now fully realized Krishna, there's nothing else to learn. No. You could always go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into it's a bottomless ocean. No matter how deep you go in the ocean of bhakti, you can even go deeper and there's no end to it. In other words, the bliss is unlimitedly expanding. Well, we got 5 minutes and we run out of here. Here's some more. They're all coming from you today. Well, any more? There's no papers for anybody to write questions on. He's getting the full monopoly. There's no pen and paper. You can always just verbally ask, you know. When the guru is physically around, the ecstasy dramatically shoots up. That's a fact. And when Prabhupada was here, I mean, it was just amazing. Wow. Ooh, it was just absolutely amazing to be with Prabhupada when he, you know, to see Prabhupada arrive at the airport. Oh my God. Whew. And then, you know, to hear him lecturing, and it's just, it was so amazing to be there with Prabhupada. How to maintain such ecstasy in his absence. That's what I'm working on. I'm working on that one myself. When I look at the deity, I'm trying to remember what it was like to actually be there with Prabhupada. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to get the same feeling I had when I was actually standing right beside Prabhupada. I remember in Atlanta, Prabhupada was on the Vyasa Sam. And there were like 300 devotees. The temple room was packed, but I stood right by Prabhupada on his right side. I got very close as I could without, you know, sitting in his lap, obviously. I was as close as I could get to Prabhupada. And I just tried to remember that feeling that I had then when just offering the arti. Try to enter into that mood, you see. The thing is, we can remember this point from Krishna Lila, you see. Why did Krishna leave Vrindavan? Well, you could say, well, he had some business to do in Dwarka. But that's the esoteric reason. The esoteric reason he left Vrindavan was to increase the ecstasy of the Vrijabhasis. Now we're getting to some high-level philosophy now. To increase the ecstasy of the Vrijabhasis, Krishna left Vrindavan because love in separation is more intense than love in meeting. I always give the mundane example. When I was a kid, I was into the mundane music. That's all I knew. I would spend the whole summer listening to the top 40 on the radio. I knew nothing else. I didn't know about Krishna. I didn't know ISKCON hadn't even come to America yet. We had Christianity, but it was so boring. There was nothing there really to. It was just imitation. It wasn't real Christianity. So there's one song that was a big hit on the radio. It went like this. It's been a long and lonely summer. See, his girlfriend went away for the summer, right? But darling, something this. Every day I will write you a letter sealed with a kiss. So the point was, when he's with his girlfriend, it's nice. And he tells how much he loves her and this and that. But when she's away and he writes a love letter, wow, it becomes like 10 times more heavy expression of his loving emotions. In other words, in separation, his expression of love is magnified many, 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 many times. That love letter is, what he writes in the love letter is much heavier than what he ever told her face to face. You understand the point? So the idea is love in separation is intensified, tremendously intensified. When you're with your beloved, it's like, oh, becomes like so-so, okay, another day. When you're separated from your beloved, becomes very, very, very intense, you see. So Krishna blessed the Brijabasis with the highest ecstasy, highest possible ecstasy of love of God by separating himself from them. Vipalamba seva, serving in separation, is the highest ecstasy. There's sambhog, meeting, and there's vipalamba, separation, you see. So the same thing applies to the spiritual master, you see. If you can learn how to associate with the spiritual master in separation, by taking his order is your life and soul, you see. Just like Prabhupada gave the order, make the world Krishna conscious, you see. I have embraced that order as my very life and soul. My duty is I must make this whole world Krishna conscious. So by embracing the order of the spiritual master in his separation, now you are packed even more tightly than when you were standing beside him when he was giving the Bhagavatam class in Atlanta when I was, you understand the point? So one has to learn how to connect with the order of the spiritual master. By embracing the spiritual master's order is your very life and soul, now you're even more tightly packed up with your Guru Maharaj than when you were standing beside him during the Guru Puja when he was physically here. This is the point. That's the answer. Okay. This is the last one now. Well, two more. No, there's just obeisances. Okay. Should remain here in the material world separate from Krishna. What you should do is do whatever Krishna wants. Maybe Krishna wants you back in Goloka. Not what I want, but what Krishna wants, you see. My mood is like that, whatever Krishna wants. If Krishna wants me to stay here birth after birth after birth to preach, I'm ready to serve him in separation. If he wants me to come back to Goloka right now and fan him, I'm ready to go. Whatever Krishna wants, that's the answer. Not what I want, what does Krishna want? You know what? The same principle is taught in the Bible. Christ says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. This proves that Jesus is a pure devotee, you see. The Christians don't understand their own Bible. Christ is a pure Vaishnava. Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Krishna, I mean to say, Jesus didn't feel like being nailed to a cross and executed. And he knew it was coming the next day, but he said, but whatever you want. And he did it. He went and had himself nailed to a cross, you see, to please Krishna. So, that's the real thing. We should simply always be totally sold out to Krishna. Whatever my guru, and to our spiritual master who represents Krishna purely. Whatever guru and Krishna want, that's it for me. I'm only to stay here eternally preaching Krishna consciousness. That's what they want me to do. Or look at Prahlad, he's in both worlds simultaneously. That's amazing. It's described, but in Prabhupada's purport, Prahlad Maharaj is in Vaikuntha Loka, also in Tutala Loka, in the material world. He's in both worlds simultaneously. So you can actually be in Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world and at the same time be a preacher in the material world. That's really interesting. You can do both at the same time. But we leave it up to Krishna. My dear Lord, whatever you want me to do, I belong to you. I'm just your servant. Now, whatever you can give me whatever you want. You can take away whatever you want. I don't care. If you want to kill me right now, I'm ready to die right now. Whatever you want to do with me, just do it right now. I'm yours forever. That is pure bhakti. And how do you cultivate it? You can just pray like that. You just pray in the mood of pure devotional service. Follow the examples of the prayers of the great acharyas. Pray in the mood of the great acharyas. Don't concoct some material prayer that Krishna, you know, give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac. Replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadish Hari. Don't make these material prayers. You're killing yourself. You're cutting your throat if you pray for these material things. You're cutting your own throat. You just beg for pure devotional service. And you will enter into a realm of unlimited ecstasy. You will taste unlimited nectar every minute of your day. You simply always pray for pure devotional service. Kick out all these ridiculous, nonsense, asinine material desires, you see. Kick them out. You don't need them. It's just dead weight. It's holding you back. Kick it out with boo. Pure devotional service is all I need, and that's it, finished. So our time is up. We thank you all very much for tuning in. Let's see. One last question from the internet, and that's it. Ananda Vardhana Das. Isn't it when the association and the service of Srila Gurudev is available, one should grab it instantly? Yes. Prabhupada took every opportunity he could to be, when he was with, he took the opportunity to be with his Guru Maharaj. You should, every chance you have to be with your spiritual master, you must take it with great enthusiasm. Every chance I had, one time I made a foolish mistake. I didn't, and I still regret it to this very day. One opportunity I had to be with Prabhupada, I didn't take it because my parents wanted to visit me. I was so stupid, thinking, well, let me preach to my parents. I stayed back. The devotees went to Chicago to be with Prabhupada. I stayed back because my parents were planning to visit me. I was thinking, I'll sacrifice and preach to them. And what was the result? My dad said, son, why don't you get a job in a hospital and do something for society? I stayed back from Prabhupada to hear that. The stupidest mistake I made in my whole life. Whenever you have a chance to be with your spiritual master, go for it. That's the intelligent thing to do. So we thank you very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Goda Premanandi.